Begin the current daven, Masechta Shabbos, daven and base. We begin four lines up from the top of the Yamid. The Gemara continues discussion from the previous daf regarding what an animal is allowed to go with on Shabbos and with not. Regarding the halacha of Itzah, because we said just like there's an iser of halachas of Shabbos on the person, so too a person has the same halachas for his animal called Shvisas Behemtoi. Therefore, just like we're allowed to go out with clothing and things which are intrinsic to our body, so too an animal could, whereas things which are excessive or extra or external, that is considered a burden, and an animal would not be allowed to go out with that on Shabbos. And therefore, the Gemara continues discussing what an animal is permitted to go out with and with not. So the Gemara begins. Tana de Bei Menashe. Eiz Shechokok Lo Ben Karneha. Regarding a goat that it was carved out inside its horns, there was holes that was carved out inside of it. So therefore, Yoytze Ba'avster B'Shabbos. Then it could go out with a halter in the horns on Shabbos. And that is, if let's say you take the halter and you stick it through the holes in the horn, that's permitted. But if it's just wrapped around the horns, that would be usr, because then maybe the rope, the halter, might fall off from its head, because since its head is very narrow and it moves around this way and that way when you pull and you tug on it, so therefore it's going to fall down and you're going to come to carry it for Amos and Shasarabim. Therefore we said it's not permitted to go out with a goat that it was wrapped around its head. It has to be, so to speak, carved in through the hole in the horn and then stuck through that, then it won't fall out. That's permitted to go out with such a halter on Shabbos. Similar to this question, the Gemara says, "Boy, Rav Yosef, tochov lo bezikna maho." What is halacha if then you stick the halter in the beard of the goat? And that is, let's say you knot the hairs of the beard of the goat into a loop, and then you stick this after this halter inside that. What's the halacha? And the question is as follows: Kivim de imantach lo koivle. Since if it would try to cut loose and break loose from the halter, it's going to move away and jump this way, that way to run away from you, it's going to hurt it because the beard's going to be pulling and the hairs are going to fall out and it's going to hurt it. It's not going to come to go ahead and pull and cut loose from that, and therefore there's no problem. We're not concerned that it's going to fall out in Rosh Hashanah, and therefore you won't come to carry it for Amos. Or maybe sometimes the hairs in the beard will get loose, and therefore the halter will fall out, and then you're going to come to carry it for Amos and Shasarab. Maybe that's why it should be usher to go out with the halter tied in the loop of the beard. So the Gemara says, take it. It's left as a question regarding the beard. It's not clear if that's permitted or not, if that would be considered like the holes in the horn, which are mutter, or not. So now the Gemara returns to discussion of the previous staff regarding what's called neturusi yisirasa, an excessive restraint. It was a machlekes tanoim regarding, although an animal is permitted to go out with a restraint on Shabbos because it's necessary, it's intrinsic to the animal, and therefore that's not considered a burden, it's not considered like it's carrying and it's transporting something from one domain to another domain. The question was regarding an excessive restraint, which is it's possible to be kept and restrained with a lighter one than it's used, more excessive one, if that's considered a burden or not. So the Gemara says, Snanhas, and we learned in the following Mishnah, which is at the end of the Perek, it's in Daf Nundalad Amid Beis. We said, that a cow is not allowed to go out into the Rosh Hashanah with a strap between its horns. So the Gemara explains a machlikas amayroim regarding this halacha. There's a machlikas ravishmu regarding this halacha about the prohibition, the isra of having a cow go out with a strap between its horns on Shabbos. And that is Chad Omer, Bein Lenoi, Bein Leshamer Asa. One of these two of Rav and Shmuel says that whether the strap between the horns was for decoration purposes and whether it was for control purposes, either way it's prohibited. That is, for decoration purposes, let's say the person would color and braid the strap for decorative purposes between the horns of the cow. For example, if it was braided from horn to horn, and now it's not being used, so to speak, to hold on to the cow, whether it's for decoration or whether it's even for control, where you're using it to hold on to the cow through the horns by using the strap, either way it's going to be prohibited. And that is because a cow could be protected even without holding on to it. You just let it go in front of you, it's not running anywhere. And therefore this mandama held that nitirusi seirasa, excessive restraint, because it's not necessary to have any such restraints for a cow, is considered a masa, it's considered a burden, and therefore it's usur, whether for noi, for decoration, or whether for sham, or even to control it, to protect it. One of the two of Rav and Shmuel held that no, only for decorative purposes is prohibited, because that's not considered intrinsic to the animal, therefore it's considered a burden. But if it's being used as a restraint, then it's permitted, because that mandamer held that nitirusi seiros, an excessive restraint, is not considered a burden, and since it's being used for something, just like clothing, even though you don't need the article of clothing. However, it's considered intrinsic to the body, so too, although you don't need this restraint, it's not considered a masik. So it's not clear who said what. So Amar Rav Yosef, Tistayim, the Shmuel, the Amar, Lenoi Aser, Leshamamata. I could bring you a proof that Shmuel was the one that said that if it's being only used for decoration, then it's prohibited. But it's being used for restraint, then it would be permitted, even though it's excessive, because you don't need any such restraint for a cow. The Amr Rav Huna Bar Chiya Amar Shmuel, Halacha Kechananya, because Rav Huna Bar Chiya said in the name of Shmuel that Halacha follows Chananya, as we learned in the previous daf, that he was the one that said that in the Tirusi Sirosa is Mutter, that's not considered a master when it's excessive restraint. And since Shmuel Paskins explicitly like Chananya, so therefore he's the one that says L'shama Mutter, that it's being used for restraint, although it's excessive, it's permitted. Amale Abaya Adrabba, but Abaya says, to the contrary, Tistaim de Shmuel hoda amma bein lanoi bein l'sham asa. Being your proof that Shmuel was the one that said that whether it's being used for decorative purposes or whether even for restraint, it would be prohibited. Dam Rabbi Huda amma Shmuel, machlifin lifnei Rabbi shalzu bezu mahu. That there was this statement said over in the name of Shmuel that when they came to ask Rabbi, they switched the cases of the Mishnah which was brought on the previous staff regarding what's the case, that the Mishnah spoke about different animals. The more difficult they are, the more necessary the extreme their restraints are. Therefore, they switched the cases of the more difficult animals with the lighter restraints and the more lighter animals with the more difficult restraints, asking him, what is the halacha? So after they asked Rabbi the question, Rabbi Shmuel said in front of Rabbi, Kacham Rabbi said over the following statement from his father, the Dal Behemis Yitzis Ba'aser, there are four animals that go out with a halter, and they are Hasus, that's the horse, Haper the mule, Ba'gomel the camel, Ba'chamar and the donkey. And therefore only these four animals could go out with a halter, which is Alav Lamu'ute Gamel B'chatam. Isn't it coming to exclude regarding a camel could only go out with a halter, but it can't go out with a nose ring? And that is what the Gemara thinks now, is that it was saying that they could only go with an Afser and now with a Chatam. Obviously, Shmuel, who was saying over this story, he held like this halacha, that Netirusi Seirasa, an excessive restraint, which is what a nose ring, a Chatam, is for a regular camel, is considered a burden, and they could only go out, these four animals, with a halter and not with a nose ring. And therefore, I'll prove to you that Shmuel held that it is prohibited to go out with an excessive restraint. So David the Gemara says, Sami ha mikmeha, that eliminate this statement of Rav Huna Bar Chiya, that he said in the name of Shmuel that the halacha is like Hananya, that it would be permitted to go out with in the Terusi Yisrael with an excess restraint, in the place of this halacha of Rabbi Huda that said in the name of Shmuel that a camel is prohibited to go out with a Chatam. And that is like what Abaye said, that Shmuel holds that in the Terusi Yisrael is Aser. And therefore, we see that Shmuel is like the way Abaye said, not like the way it was said originally, that he, like Rav Huna Bar Chiya, that the halacha is going to be that Shmuel holds that even a Netirus Yisrael says mutter. To which the Gemara asks, Umay chazis demas mitzvah mikmeha. Where do you see fit to say one, to eliminate one over the other? Samiha mikmeha. Maybe eliminate the case of Rabbi Huda in the name of Shmuel, in that Neterusi Sirasa is going to be prohibited, when we have an explicit statement of Huna Bar Chiya, that name is Mutter, that Allah is like Hananya, that Neterusi Sirasa is Mutter. As the Gemara says, it makes more sense to say that Abaye is wrong and not Rav Huna Bar Chiya. Because the Ashkechan Shmuel Huda Amal Lanoi Asa L'Sham Mutter, because we find explicitly that Shmuel says that it's being used for decorative purposes is prohibited, but for protection it's Mutter. The Itma, as we learned, and this was explicit, that Shmuel says that it's mutter. Rav Chiya Bar Ashi Amar Rav, that they said in the name of Rav, Bein Lanoi, Bein L'Shama Asa, that Rav is the one that says whether for decorative purposes or for protection purposes prohibited. Rav Chiya Bar Oven Amar Shmuel Lanoi Asa L'Shama Mutter, that Rav Chiya Bar Oven said explicitly that Shmuel was the one that said that it's only for decorative purposes that's prohibited when the cow is going out between its horns. But if it's being used for restraint purposes, then it's going to be mutter, and that is, as we said, not like Abaya. That Abaye, his mistake was, as our Gemara had previously said, that the diuk, the inference, is not supposed to be to exclude a camel from a chatam, which was an excessive restraint, because that's permitted. The exclusion of saying that these four animals go out with an officer is only to exclude a na'aka, which is a more difficult type of a camel, a large female camel, that she cannot go out with an officer with a halter. Only these four could, because it won't protect it with such a light type of restraint. And therefore, for that type of animal to be considered a masle, that is the dig, that's the inference. But not to infer that in the Tirusi Sirasa, that a camel cannot go out with a more excessive restraint, that's not true, that it could, and that's because Shmuel will hold that Lashamir is mutter, and that these four animals was only excluding other animals from using a halter, but these four animals could use more excessive restraints, and that would not be considered that a masle, rather in the Tirusi Sirasa, according to Shmuel, is mutter. So now the Gemara asks Meisvi, according to Rav, that he said Nitirusi Sirasa, that an excessive restraint is considered a mas, is considered a burden, we ask from the following halacha. Koshara ba'leo b'meiser, we said that the owner, if he ties the para aduma with a leash, and that is a leash is the equivalent of a halter, kshera, that the paradome is still kosher. So the question is, if it's like Rav said, that a leash, that a halter is considered a burden, so then the pasuk says, asher loy ola ola oil, amir achmona. The Torah says that the paraduma, the red cow, the red heifer, is not allowed to have carried a yoke. And if you're saying that a halter is a yoke, how could we say that if the owner tied around a leash around it, it's still kosher, that should be considered a yoke according to Rav? So the Gemara gives a few answers why, although Rav says that a leash, a halter is a yoke, it's a masay, and therefore it's asar and Shabbos, but for the paradum in this case, it's not considered ol that it was a yoke. So one teretz the Gemara brings, Amrabaya, we're talking about b'malicha me'ir le'ir, that when we're transporting the paraduma from one city to another one, that is because a regular cow, it goes and it tries turning to its resting place. And therefore you have to hold on to it when you're going and transporting it to another city. For an intercity transport, that's not considered an etirus yisayra, so that's excessive restraint. Rather, that is the derech, that's the way it's necessary. Although in the regular city, going in the regular public domain, that will be considered, so to speak, a masa, because it's not necessary, but when you're going that far, it's necessary for that type of case. Another teretz the Gemara brings, Rava Amar, second teretz, is Shani Para de Demeyukaran. The Para Duma is different because it's very expensive. And that is, it needs what's called nitirus yisirus, it needs an excessive restraint from the day that it's born, because you have to take much more precautions than a regular cow, and therefore for a paraduma, it's not considered excessive. And the third test thing more brings, Ravino Amar b'mayredis, that the case we're talking about by the paraduma was a rebellious one. And therefore for a rebellious cow, it's not considered excessive to have a halter, to have this leash, and therefore, it's not considered ole ala oil. But a regular cow, it would be like Rav said, that it would be considered a masoy. And therefore, those are the three terutzim to say that although Rav says that it's considered a yoke, and that's what's us on Shabbos, by the paraduma, it was not considered ole ala oil, that it was a yoke, to say that it's prohibited from using it as the paraduma for the tahara of tumah. Now the Gemara continues elaborating the Mishnah. It said, hasus b'shir, that the horse could go out with the collar around its neck. And then the Mishnah said, and all those animals that go out with collars, for example, the different dogs, the hunting dogs, that go out with collars, they can go out with collars on Shabbos. And then it said that they're yitzin v'nim shachin, they can go out and they're pulled with the collars on Shabbos. To which the Gemara asks, my yitzin the mainim shachin, what is this double terminology that they can go out with the collars on Shabbos and they can be pulled with the collars on Shabbos? So the Gemara brings different interpretations. Amrav Huna, o yitzin kruchin, it's saying that either that he can go out with this halter with the collar wrapped around his neck, or he can go out with it pulled. And that is, he can go out with the collar wrapped around his neck, even if you're not holding onto it because it's just being wrapped around his neck. It's not considered a burden because it's also for decorative purposes. That's the way they go out. That's the regular norm, how the horse and these type of animals go out. Therefore, it's not considered a burden. Or it can be go out pulled, that is, if let's say you're pulling with the strap of the collar that's, so to speak, attached to the collar around his neck, which is in that little hole, there's the collar, and then there's, I by the collar is a little ring, and then attached to the ring is the strap. So either it can go out kruchen, either it can go out just yoitzen, even not being pulled, just wrapped around its neck, or it can go out nimshachen, either one is okay, because either it's being used for protection, for being pulled, or it's being used for this, so to speak, just going out for decorative purposes. Either one is mutter. Ushmul amar, yoytzin nimshachin. No, it's one statement. Yoytzin nimshachin. They can only go out if they're being pulled by the strap, because that's what's called the nitiru, so that's being used for restraint. That's the way it goes out. Ve'en yoytzin kuchen, but it cannot go out wrapped around, because that's only being used for decorative purposes. And it's not the derech, that's not the norm how people use it. People only have these collars as a way of protection. And therefore, Shmuel says that the statement was saying yoytzin mshachin has to have both, and if it only had one, if it only had, let's say, yoytzin just wrapped around, that would be awesome. So the Gemara brings that in a braisa, it seems to say like Shmuel. B'mesnita tana, yoytzin kruchen limashach, that they can go out wrapped to be pulled. And that is, it's not enough, as the first statement Rav Huna said, that it's enough even if it goes to just yoytzen, if it's just wrapped around for beauty. No, it has to have krochen limashach to be pulled. But however, the Braisa adds that it has to have room to pull. That is, you have to be able to put your hand between the wrapping and the neck, or you leave a little bit of the rope to be able to be pulled, because if it comes to run away, then you could quickly grab onto it. The idea is that although it could be wrapped, but it has to have an element that you could grab a hold of it to be able to protect it, and then it will be, so to speak, fulfill the requisite of restraint, which will not consider it a masa, but just for noi, then it would be prohibited. That's not the derech. That's not enough. I've considered intrinsic to the animal. So the Gemara brings stories related to these halachas that Amar of Yosef, that I saw the calves of Rav Huna, that l'shitasa, that he held, that no, just for decorative purposes, if it's just wrapped around, even though there's no room for you to pull it from that collar, that it's permitted. I saw that their halters were wrapped around their necks on Shabbos, again, because he held that it was permitted, although there's no string to be pulled, if it's just wrapped around the collar, still, it's mutar on Shabbos.
He said, "Mulai shall beis Rebbe yoitzis ba'afsirein b'Shabbos."
I saw the mules of the house of Rebbe that they went out with the halters on Shabbos. So it wasn't clear what type of case was it. Ibailu, they asked the question, "Kruchin aydim shachin." When he said that the mules of the house of Rebbe went out with their halters on Shabbos, was it wrapped around the neck, and that it was not for restraint because there was nothing to pull? Rather, it was enough. He held like Rav Huna, that even if it was just for decorative purposes, mutter, or was that there was room to be pulling it through there, that there was a rope attached to it, and therefore he held not like Rav Huna, but rather it was that it was you have to have being used for restraint purposes. So Toshima will prove which way it was, if it was just for Nimshachan or even for Kruchin.
Kiyas Rav Shmuel by Yehuda Amr Rav Chanina, Moloi shel beis Rabbi yitzis ba'afsirein Kruchin b'Shabbos.
He says explicitly that the mules of the house of Rebbe, they went out with their halters wrapped around their neck on Shabbos, which was just for decorative purposes, and he held like Rav Huna.
Amru Rabban kamed Rav Asi.
So Rabban said in front of Rav Asi that Hadar Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda leitzricha. We don't need this statement of Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda that we just mentioned, that the Rebbe's permitted his mules to go out, even just wrapped around, not for restraint purposes, even just for decorative purposes, because Midrav Dimi Nafka, it's obvious from the statement of Rav Dimi that this permission of Rebbe, of letting his mules go out with their halters and Shabbos, was obviously told him that it was wrapped around and it wasn't being used for restraint. How is it obvious? Because if you would think that this statement of Rav Dimi, that he was talking about the mules of the house of Rebbe, that they went out with their halters and Shabbos, meant that it was being used for pulling, but kruchin, but if it was just wrapped around the neck, that would be usser. And the only thing that he would be telling us is that the mules are protected with a halter, and therefore it would not be considered a masa, it wouldn't be considered a burden. And this is what he was telling us, Rav Dimi, that it was this, the heter of nimshachin, that it could be used per pull, but you wouldn't need Rav Dimi to tell you that. Midrav Yehuda Omer Shmuel Nafka. We already know it from a different statement of Rav Yehuda that said in the name of Shmuel, that the Rav Yehuda Meshmul, Machlifin Hoy Lefnei Rebbe Shalzu Bezu, as we mentioned before this Gemara, that they asked, they switched the questions of the Mishnah about the different restraints for the different animals. They asked what would be the halacha of one, the more difficult animal, the lighter restraint, and the lighter animal, the more difficult restraint. So Amal Lefon Rebbe Shmul Rebbe Yasi, Kachama Abba, when Rebbe Shmul Rebbe Yasi heard this question being posed from the Rebbe, he said, this is what my father said. Arba behemis yitzis ba'afsa, the only four animals that can go out with a halter on Shabbos, that is hasus, that's the horse, ba'aperet and the mule, ba'agoma and the camel, ba'achamar and the donkey. So it's explicitly that the donkey goes out with the halter on Shabbos. And that is, the Gemara thinks right now that Rebbe obviously was makabel from Rebbe Shmuel Rebbe Yasi this statement. So therefore we see that, of course, the donkey can go out with the halter on Shabbos, and that's being used as, so to speak, as a restraint, and it's not considered a masa, a burden for it. So when Rav Dimi would tell us that by the house of Rebbe that his animals went out with the halter on Shabbos, it must be saying an added chiddush, which would be saying even if it's just wrapped around and not to be pulled, so therefore we don't need the statement of Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda to tell us that it's even when it's wrapped around. Torah Shigmar says, no, you need all three statements. Amalu Rav Asi Itzrich Lohu. If we would want to learn it out from this statement, Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Shmuel, regarding this story when they switched the case in front of Rebbe and he said that the donkey could go out with the halter on Shabbos because it's considered restraint and it's not considered an additional burden. We would have thought that this is the statement that Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda said in front of Rebbe, but who said Rebbe was makabel that he accepted that halacha? That's why we need the statement of Rav Dimi, that we see that the donkey could go out with the halter on Shabbos, that's considered a restraint, it's not considered an excessive burden. But if we would have only had the statement of Rav Dimi, but then I would have thought that when could the donkeys go out with the halter on Shabbos? If it's being used to pull as a restraint, that's intrinsic to the animal. But if it's wrapped around the neck and there's nothing to pull, then it's just for decorative purposes, that would be usher, that's not considered the derech, how the animals go out, and that's considered a burden.
That's why we needed the third statement of Shmuel Yehuda that said not only could they go out with it being pulled, but it could even go out kruchen, even if it's just wrapped around the neck. That Rabbi held the Rav Huna, that even for noi purposes, even if it's just decorative purposes, that's permitted. That's not considered a burden, and that's the derech for the animals to go out. Just like clothing is mutter for the animals, it's not considered itza. Nothing more continues discussing the Mishnah that said Umazna Leyen Vitovlimkaim, that you could spray the hazos that's necessary to be matar or something, and you could immerse the collar that's on the animal in its place. When it's on the animal, you don't have to take it off, it's not a problem. Then the Gemara asks a technical question. Lememer de bnei kibuli tumaninu. You're saying that the collar is around the animals. You can leave it on them when you spray them, when you immerse them, it's not a problem. But it's mashma, it's inferred, that obviously these collars, these rings around the animals can be makabalik, it's susceptible to tumma. But it seems not like that, but now we learn the Mishnah. Tabas adam tumeya, that the ring of a person, that is a ring that you put on the finger for beauty, for jewelry, that's susceptible to tumma, because it's a tachshit, it's jewelry, it's decorative. And we learn that from the halacha when in the pasuk in Bamidbar Lamed Aleph, that talks about by Midyan, that it counts over there the jewelry that they had captured in the spoils of the war, Etzada and Samid, and in all those cases it says, Tischatu atam v'shavichem, that you should purify it. So therefore we see that it's mekabel tuma, even if it's just a ring of its jewelry. So we see that by the tabas, the ring of a person. However, the Mishnah says, v'tabas behemah, but the ring of an animal, for example, the case of our Mishnah, which is a collar, v'kelem, and the rings of vessels, for example, those that they make at the ends of the handles of the kelem, the shar kol tabois, and all other types of rings, for example, those which are made for the doors, we continue on to Amud Beis, all those cases, tahiris, that they are tahir, that is, that they're not makabal any tumah, and that is because it's not makabal tumah because of tachshit, because of jewelry, because there is no tachshit for a kli, there's no jewelry for a kli, and a kli also it's not, it's only a tachshit of a kli, so therefore it's not makabal tumah. However, if this ring would still be attached to the kli, then it would be mekabel tumah because of the kli, because then it's what's called a yad l'kli, it's so to speak a handle for the vessel. Because anything that's attached to the kli, like to the vessel, has the same halacha. But if it's detached, this ring that's being used for the vessel, for the door, whatever it is, for the animal, it's not mekabel tumah. So therefore, how could we say that this shear, this collar of the animal, you could immerse it and you could spray it, and you could leave it on the animal in its place, but it's never mekabel tumah. Only the ring of a person is mekabel tumah. But a ring of an animal or all the other things, they don't qualify for the halacha of tachshit, which we learn from the parsha of Midyan, that a tachshit, that jewelry is also mekabel tumah. That's only by people, not by animals. So how could you say that you're metar it if it never becomes tumah in the first place? So the Gemara gives two terutzim. Amr b'yitzchak, b'boyin minoy adam l'noy behemah. Tumah, when it was transferred from the adornment of a person to the adornment of an animal. And that is, the Mishnah is told about a case where this collar was originally made for a person. And when the person was wearing it, it became tummy. And then after it became tummy, then they went ahead and they used it for animals. Then you have to immerse it to be metarit from its original tumah, that now it shouldn't touch anything that's tar. Now you have to be metarit, so therefore you could keep it on the animal and immerse that way. But if it was originally made for animals, of course it would not be mekabel tumah. It was told that it was originally used for adornment for a person and it was transferred to an animal. The second text the Gemara brings is Rav Yosef Amar, Hoil v'odem moishich behemes abehemes. Since this collar, the ring on the collar, is being used to pull the animal, and therefore it's considered a kli because it's a tashmish, it's a usage for a person, so therefore we consider it, so to speak, almost like a tabas of a adam, as a ring of a person because it's being used for the person, although it's on the animal, but we view it as, so to speak, an extension of the tachshit of the person. As the Gemara brings, Milo Tan, didn't we learn the Braisa? Makal shel behema, regarding the stick of an animal, that is, that's used to prod the camels or those which are used to lead the bears, that it says, shel mateches, if it's made out of metal, because it would be made out of wood, then there's a halacha, pshuti kliates, that a wooden vessel that's flat and has no hollow, that it's not makabel tumah, so we're talking about metal, makabel tumah, that it is makabel tumah. So the reason is matam. What's the reason? It's necessary for the animal, and we know that these tachshitin of animals are not makabel tumah. So hoil v'adam roide behen. Since the person uses it to drive the animal, that it uses it to hit it and to lead it. So hachinami hoil v'adam roide behen. Here also, since the person uses it to lead the animal, it pulls it through the collar. So therefore, it's considered a keli for the person, just like this stick. Why should it be makabel tumah?
It's not a keli. A keli for an animal is not a keli. It has to be a keli for a human usage. So since the human used it to lead the animal by that stick, here also this ring, that since it's being used to pull the animal, it's not tame because of kli behema, because a kli behema is not mekabel tuma. Tabas for a behema is not. Here we're talking about it's really considered tabas of adam since the person used it to lead the animal. Those are two terutzim. Why, although the tabas of a behema is not mekabel tuma, here we don't view it as a tabas of behema. It's either came from a person or it's considered as an extension of the tabas of a person. So we continue explaining the Mishnah. The Gemara says, we said that it not only could it be, you could spray it in this place, you could also immerse it in this place, meaning when it's still on the animal, you could go ahead and just dip the animal in the mikvah, and that will purify the collar and the ring that's on it. To which the Gemara asks, but there's an interposition, there's a chatzitza, that is because the ring that's attached to the collar is attached very tightly, and the water cannot get in between the ring and the collar, and therefore, how is it going to be metahir? The ring, when the ring will not have the water totally surrounded, and it's necessary that the water should totally surround the item that you're trying to be metar. So the Gemara gives a few terutzim. Amar Ami b'shiritchan. We're talking about that it was hammered, and that is someone took a hammer and he's hit the place where the ring attached to the collar until it, so to speak, opened up. It spread out. The hole got bigger, and therefore it's not the water will be able to get in through where the ring is attached to the collar. So the Gemara says, let's say Rav Ami that just gave this teretz that he holds like Rav Yosef that we mentioned just before, that Rav Yosef said, there was two teretzim regarding how this collar even became tummy in the first place with that ring attached to it. That he said that it was talking about how is a makabel tuma if it's a tabas of an animal. He says, since a person pulls it, although it was never originally a person, it was always an animal's ring, but since a person's being used to pull it, it can become tummy. So therefore, over here, when you go ahead and you hammer it after it became tummy, it's still fit for its original use, which is used to pull the animal, and therefore the tummy doesn't totally fly away, so to speak, when you hammer it out, because it's still fit to use to pull the animal. Because the ikrib yitzchak, the amar beboin min the odem lo nebehem, because if you would think the Rabami held like the first teretz of Rabbi Yitzchak, that how could a tabas, how could a ring of an animal become tummy if it's only the ring of a person that become tummy? And so he said that we're talking about it was originally a ring of a person. And then it was, so to speak, then it was transferred to this collar to be used as a ring for the behema. But then kiven derischan, since Rav Ami's teretz is talking about that the way it could be tivel, that there's room for the water to get in through the ring and the collar, is that it was hammered. So avid behu maisa, so he already did an action regarding this ring and the collar. And therefore the tumah already flew away, and therefore there's no purpose anymore to tivel because it's not tumah anymore. Because according to Rabbi Yitzchak, it won't be makabel tumah. It's only when it's still fit for its original usage, which was for a person. That's how it was makabel tumah, because it was, again, we told about it was a ring that was originally used for a person. But once you hammered it, so now it's not fit anymore for the person because you totally just demolished it. It can't be used as a takshat, as jewelry for a person anymore. So therefore, it's already tahar from the tumah, and therefore you don't have to do tefillah at all. As the Gemara shows, did not we learn the Mishnah? Kol ha-kelim yoridun de tumasin b'machshava. All vessels become susceptible to tumah with just thought. And that is, once the person thinks about this vessel, that he's going to leave it as it is right now, and he's not going to fix it anymore and make it into something more sophisticated, that's considered the gemar meloch, it's already finished, and now it's a vessel, and therefore it could be mekabel tumah. However, ve'ein oilim mitumasin el b'shina maisa, it does not emerge from the tumah, it already became tumah, only with a shina maisa, which changing it with an action. And that is, once you thought about, let's say, a piece of leather, that you're going to use it as a rug, then it's become susceptible to tumah. Then if later he decides, you know what, I'm not going to use this piece of leather, perfectly good piece of leather as a rug. I'm going to go use it for strips and for shoes. I'm going to cut it up and use it into something, make it into something. It's not batel. It does not become annulled from the halacha of being considered a kli vessel. It does not become tara that way until you finally put the tool to the leather and you start cutting it up. That's called a shina maisa. That's an action that changed it. And therefore, it's not enough just with thinking about it. It's still considered clean until you do a change. However, what we see is that a shina maisa, if you start changing it, that it will become oilum tumasa, it will be purified from its tumah, because now we don't view it as a vessel anymore, because now it's going to be shoes, and it's not shoes yet. So therefore, obviously, that Rabbi Ami was not going like a Yitzchak. Because what happens is, over there, in this case, you, so to speak, you hammered it out. Now there's room for the water to get between the ring and the collar. Problem is, now that you hammered it out that there's room, but now the ring is all, so to speak, messed up. You can't use it as a ring for jewelry anymore. And therefore, the way it was a kli, it can't become, it's not a kli because it's tabas of a hammer, it's because originally from a person. But yet now it's not roi anymore for a person. If it's not roi anymore, that's considered shinim ayis. You changed it with an action. That's oil mutamasin. It's not tummy anymore because it's not a kli. So therefore, Rabami, who said that you want to go ahead and tovel it now and that it was hammered, obviously it's still tummy. That can't be like Rabbi Yitzchak, because according to Rabbi Yitzchak, that it was only because originally the kli of a person, that it now it's not a kli of a person anymore. But if you say like the other teretz in the Gemara, like Rabbi Yosef, then it makes sense because it's still fit to be used as the ring of the animal. And since it's being used by a person, so therefore it's mekabel de toma. So that would still make sense. However, according to Rabbi Yitzchak, it doesn't make sense. Tosfos Gemara says, no, it's possible that he does hold like Rabbi Yitzchak. However, sovel like Rabbi Yehuda, he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, the omer maisu l'sakin lav maisu, that a constructive and creative action, that's not considered an action to be mavatlet from the Torah's claim. And since here the action is being used as a way to, as a tzarech behema, that's necessary to go hammer it out so that it could become tahar, so that you could continue using it for the animal, therefore that's not considered an action that was, so to speak, nullified from its original usage. And again, although it's, so to speak, you can't use it anymore for the human purposes, which was for a tachshit, however, since it's constructive in the sense that it's that we can still use it, that's not a maisa that could undo it from its status of a vessel, and therefore it will still be tummy, and that's why you still need a tefillah. The Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, loy omer shinu maisa, we didn't say that tahara, purification, could come through the change of an action, lisakin, if it's constructive action. El lekalkal, only if it's destructive action. And therefore, since this is constructive, although it's, so to speak, not fit anymore and should be considered shina maisa, since it's constructive, it will not purify from its tumma, and that's why he could, Rabbi Amit, could be like Rabbi Yitzchak, and not only like Rabbi Yosef, that it could be told by that it was originally the ring of a person, and that's how it was makabel tumma, and that's why you want to be metared in a mikvah. A second test the Gemara brings is, b'mesnita tana b'mecholol. The question was, how could you tovel it if the ring is so tightly attached to the collar, it is going to be chatzitza? And the Braisa we learned this talking about that there are holes, and that is originally was made with very wide holes, that there's holes where it's attached, and therefore the ring is going to have water get around it because it's a very wide space, and therefore it's not a difficulty, it's not so tight. Now the Gemara continues regarding this topic of tumah, regarding tabois, regarding rings. The Gemara brings Shol Talmud Echad Megolil Ha'el in Esther Belaza, that it was a student from the Upper Galilee that he asked Rebbe Elazar the following question. Shemati Shecholkin bin Tabas Letabas. He says, I heard in the Beis Medrash, I don't know, I heard that there's a difference in halacha between the different types of rings, but I don't know what the difference is. So Amaloi Rebbe Elazar told him, Shemaloi Shemate Elin Shabbos. Maybe you only heard there was a difference in the Beis Medrash between the different types of rings in halacha, only regarding the halachas of Shabbos. That is regarding the halacha of Itzah, about transporting a ring on Shabbos, there's a difference between if there's a seal on the ring or if there's no seal, as the Gemara says later on Dav Samach Amar Aleph. The ilin yetumah dabadach adhi, because if it's regarding the halachas of tumah, it's all the same thing, all the rings have the same halacha. And that's what he answered him, to which the Gemara asked, ilin yetumah dabadach achasi, is it really true that all rings have the same halachic status regarding halacha of tumah? But now we learned in the Mishnah, and we quoted just before, Tabas Adam Tumeya, the ring of a person is susceptible to tumma. For Tabas Behema, but regarding the ring of an animal, the kalim and the utensils, Ushar Kal Tabas and all other types of rings like those which are used for doors, Taharis, they're Tahar. So there are differences in halacha regarding the halachas of rings, even regarding tumma. So why do you say there's only difference regarding Shabbos? So Kikamaleihu, Nami to Adam Kamaleih. When Rabbi Elazar responded to him, he was told about the ring of a person, and there's no difference regarding the halacha of Tahara, only regarding the halachas of Shabbos. Which the Gemara continues asking, "Uda adam davar da'achasi?" And regarding the rings of a person, is it really the same halacha regarding halachas of tumah? But Tanya, we learn the brisa, "Tabas sheheskino lachgar b'masna." Regarding a ring that was prepared to use as a belt, in other words, as a belt buckle, it was used to hold up the belt around his waist. Ulekasher b'ben kisef of or if it is being used to tie up the sleeves between his shoulders, tahira, that type of a ring is tahar. Because that would be considered a tabas of kalim. It's a ring for vessels to hold up the pants, the belt, or the shirt. And it's not similar to the case we mentioned before when a person's using it to pull it, so then it's considered tabas of an adam, because here the person's not using it at all. It's just, so to speak, laying on the belt or on the shirt, and therefore it's not, so to speak, considered the person using it.
However, when it's with the belt itself, then it is makabel tumma. But if we would take the buckle off and then return it, it would not be makabel tumma on its own. So therefore, as the Brisa says, v'lo amr tumeya ela shel etzba bilvad. We only said that there's a halachic status of tumma regarding a ring only if it's being used for a finger. But all other rings are tahor. So how could he say that regarding rings of a person, there's no difference? There is a difference if it's being used for his ring or for, let's say, his shirt or for his belt to be held up. So the Gemara says, Ki kamalei ihu, nami de espa kamalei. When he was telling him there's no difference regarding the halachas of rings for tumah, he meant the rings that are used for the finger, there's no difference. But regarding the halachas of Shabbos, there is a difference, as we said, regarding if there's a seal or not. But then the Gemara continues asking, with the espa dabba de achasi, even the halacha of the rings of a finger, is it really the same regarding the halacha of tumah? Are there no differences? But now we learn in the Mishnah, taba shel mateches, regarding a ring made out of metal, but v'chisamish shel almoik. However, its seal is made out of almug, which is called atzei almugim. It's a type of a wood, which is very pretty. Then tumei, then it's makabel tumah, it's susceptible to tumah, because we go, the halacha follows the ring, that's the main idea. And since pshuti klimatri is a type of metal that doesn't have a hollow, although there's, so to speak, a space between it, but the actual metal has no hollow inside of it, even though it's not, there's no hollow, it is makabel tumah, because the ring is the main element and not the seal. So therefore, it's susceptible to tumah. But he shall almoig, b'chastam shall matchis tahir. But if the ring was made out of this type of a chash of a wood, and the seal was made out of metal, then there would be tahir, because pshutikli eitz, a type of a wooden element that has no hollow and no cavity, that's not makabel tumah. And since the main element is the ring, and although the seal is metal, but the ring is wood, it will be tahir, it's not makabel tumah. So the question is that we see even regarding rings, there's a difference if the ring is made out of wood or if it's made out of metal. So how can you say that regarding the rings of fingers, there's no differences? So the Gemara answers, Ki kamalei ihu, na mikulu shel matchis kamalei. When he was telling him regarding the halacha of taba'ois, that regarding rings for people, and of fingers, there's no differences. He was talking about that it was made out of metal. There's no difference. But regarding the halacha of Shabbos, again, there is a difference if there's a seal or if there's no seal. That was one type of discussion between the student and the Rebbe. Ve'oichal, and then he also asked him, this student asked Rebbe Eliezer, Shemati shecholkim b'nechen lemecher. He asked him a similar type of question. He said, I heard that they make, there's a difference between different types of needles. Amalei shemalei shemate ele'in Shabbos. So again, Rebbe Lezer responded in a similar way. He says that maybe this that you heard there was a difference in halacha regarding the different types of needles. Maybe you only heard regarding the halachas of Shabbos. That regarding transporting a needle on Shabbos, there's a difference whether there's an eye or there's not an eye. That if there's an eye in the needle, then we learn that the person would be chayav achatas. But if there's no eye, then it's only considered, it's a tachshit, it's so to speak, a decorative type of a needle. There we learn in Perek B'Me'ish on Daf Nun Zayin Mabez that there a person would not be chayav achatas. So regarding the halachas of Shabbos, it would make a difference if the needle has an eye or not. But the ilah in tumah dovid achasi. But he says if regarding the halachas of tumah, they're all the same. There is no difference between the different types of needles. On that, the Gemara asked, "Well, in your tumah dovid achasi, is it really true that regarding the halachas of tumah, there's no difference between the type of a needle?" But now we learn the Mishnah. It would depend. Machat shenitel chura ay ukta tahira. Regarding a needle, if the eye or the point was taken away from it, that it's tahir. So we see that it does make a difference what type of a needle is it regarding the halachas of tumah. So the Gemara says, Ki kamalei b'shlema, when he was telling him that there's no difference regarding the halachas of tumah, he's talking about a complete one. Not that it's not missing its eye, it's not missing its point. On that, there's no difference in the halachas of tumah. And that's what he said, there's no difference. On that, the Gemara asks, b'shlema dabada achasi, regarding a complete needle, there is no difference. But now we learn in the Mishnah, machat shehelsa chaluda, regarding a needle that became rusty, im ma'akeves atzvira tahira, if that rust obstructs the sewing, that you can't use it as well, then it's tahir. It's not considered a vessel. It's not considered a utensil anymore. Mimlav tmeya. But if not, it's still tameh, because if it doesn't obstruct the sewing, although there's some rust, it's still considered a vessel. Va'ami de Rebbe Yanai, v'hushi reshum nika. And Rebbe Yanai qualified the statement by saying that it's only if the impression is still discernible. And there's two pshatim in Rashi in this, that he said that this, even if it does not, so to speak, this obstruct the sewing, it has to be that the imprint of the needle is recognizable, then it would be considered kli, and then it would be considered tame. But if it's not, the impression is not discernible, then even if it doesn't obstruct the sewing, it would not be considered kli. Another pshat Rashi says that even if it does obstruct the sewing, however, it still needs another qualification that the imprint of the rust when you're sewing it, you'll see rust on the clothing. That's considered obstructing the sewing, and then it'll be considered tar. But either way, we say that it does make a difference what type of needle it is. That if there's rust, it's not going to be considered a needle, if it obstructs the sewing, and if it also has this element that you're going to see rust on the clothing. And if it's not, then it will be considered a keli. So we see that it does make a difference. On that, the Gemara says, ki kamale, b'shiva kamale. When he was telling him there's no difference regarding the lochs of tumah, regarding a needle, he was talking about it was a polished needle that had no rust, and that there's no difference. And that the Gemara continues asking, b'shiva davada achasi, is it really true that if it's polished, it's a perfect needle, there's no difference regarding the lochs of tumah? But by time, we learned in the Braisa, mechad bein nekuva bein ein nekuva, regarding a needle, whether there's an eye or there's no eye, mutl talta b'shabbos, you're allowed to carry it on Shabbos. That is, we're talking about in the person's courtyard, not out in Rosh Hashanah. Because since this needle, even if it doesn't have an eye, is fit to use to take out a thorn that a person has in his flesh. So therefore, it's considered a kli, it's a vessel, it's not mukta on Shabbos. V'lo yimrin in the kuva elin tum b'vad. And the Braisa says that we only said that there's a difference, that it requires a nekuva, it requires an eye, only regarding the halachas of tumah. And that is, there is a difference for the halachas of tumah. And that is only regarding the halachas of tumah that we say that if there's an eye, then it's makabel tumah, then it's considered a complete needle. But if there's no eye, then it's not makabel tumah. So therefore we see explicitly that there is a difference, even if it's polished and it's perfect, that there is a difference between if there's an eye or not regarding the halachas of tumah. And that the Gemara says, Hod tigma Abaya liba de Rava. Abaya already interpreted this statement according to Rava in Perikol HaKelim and Daf Kof Chav Gimel Amid Aleph, that is talking about Begalma, we're talking about an unfinished keli. And that is, we're talking about a piece of metal that was cut from the strip of metal, and you're making a needle. And now you plan on putting an eye into the needle. There, as long as there was no hole that was made in the needle, the eye was not created yet, it's not makabel tumah, like the Braisa is saying, because it's not nigma malachti, it was not finished yet into the tinsel that it's supposed to be. And regarding the halachas of tumah, it says in the pasuk in Bamidbar Lamed Aleph, kli maisa, that it has to be that it was totally finished, all the action that's necessary to make it into a keli. However, regarding the halachas of Shabbos, it's permitted, as the Braisa said, because sometimes you'll decide to keep it as such, and you're going to use it, and it's fit to use it to take out a thorn, and that's why it's not considered muks, and you can use it in your courtyard. But regarding a needle that was totally finished, which was the case of Rebbe Eliezer, which you don't plan on putting in the eye in the needle, then there's no difference. It has the same halacha regarding tumah because it's already considered, it's complete already. And therefore, there's no difference. So therefore, the resolution of the Gemara was that if it's considered complete already, you don't plan on finishing it off. You plan on keeping without the eye. So then there's no difference whether it has an eye or not regarding the halachas of tumah. The Braisa was talking about that it was not finished yet. It was gulmi. It was considered unfinished because you plan on still putting in the eye. There would be a difference regarding the halachas of tumah, that if you didn't put in the eye yet, then it would not be makabel tumah. And it was only and regarding Shabbos, there would be no difference because either way it's not muktzah, because sometimes you'll decide to use it to take out the thorn. However, according to, for Reb Lazar, it's not a contradiction because it depends if you plan on putting in the eye or you don't. Now the Gemara continues discussing the halachas of the theme of our Mishnayos of this parak regarding what an animal could go out with on Shabbos or what it can't go out with. So the Mishnah says, Chamur yoytze b'mardas, that the donkey could go out with a saddlecloth. And that is, they would put the saddlecloth all day on the donkey to keep it warm. As people say, that a donkey, even in Tekufas Tamas, even in the real summer heat, the donkey is always cold. So the donkey could go out with the mardas, with the saddlecloth. It's not considered a burden. It's necessary. It's intrinsic to the animal. However, that's only bizman shik shruba. That's only when it's attached to the donkey. And the Gemara is going to explain what that means. Zecharim yoytzin levuvin. The rams, they can go out attached. Rechelos yoytzis shechuzos. The females, the ewes, they can go out held, kavulis, tied, uchvunis, and fastened. And the Gemara is going to explain all these different terminologies, what they mean. Then the Mishnah continues, izim yoytzis shruis. The goats could go out tied. And that is that their udders would be tied, sometimes to dry it up, which would be that they would attach them very tight together, that it shouldn't milk anymore, and thereby it could become pregnant, or that it should be fatty to eat it, that the milk, which has all the fat in it, shouldn't come out. And sometimes they would tie it for the milk, that is to protect the milk coming out, that it shouldn't drip down to the ground. So they would tie like a type of a pouch to the udders to collect and to gather the milk that comes out. So Tanakhama holds either way of tying the goat's udders, that the milk where it comes out is mutter either way, either to stop the milk or to get the milk and to foster that, to catch it with a pouch. However, Rabbi Yossi says all the cases of our Mishnah are forbidden because they're all considered master, they're all considered burdens. Chutz min rechil nakvunz, except for the case that we mentioned of the ewes going out fastened, that's the only case that's mutter, because that's a case where it protects the wool around it that it shouldn't get dirty. That's considered a tachshir, that's an adornment for the animal, that's not a masik. And the Mishnah concludes, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, izim yetzit tzurus liyabish. The goats can go out with their udders tied only if it's being used to dry up the milk. Avaloy l'chal, but not to get and to catch the milk. That is because Rabbi Yehuda really, in essence, holds like the Tanakhama that it's not a burden. However, it's only when they're tied to dry up the milk, where then it's attached very tightly. And then you don't have to be concerned that maybe it's going to fall this pouch, what's being used to tie it up, and then you're going to carry it, because it's tight, very tightly attached. However, the case of when it's being used to catch the milk, although it's not a masa, it's not a burden, it's considered intrinsic to the animal, but since then it's not being used very tightly because you don't want to, so to speak, suffocate the milk, you want it to come out. And then to catch that milk, they were concerned that it might fall down, and then you might come to pick it up and transport it for Amas and Rosh Rabim, and be chayiv and be over on the Isra Vitzah. That's why he said that case of L'cholov is Asr, and only the case of L'yavish does he agree that it's going to be mut.